Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
And this is Reality and Relationship. So you know, when you hear me on, it must be Thursday. So we're going to be on from 8 to 10. And sadly, my lovely and pregnant wife is unable to be with us tonight. She is actually taking a little ill. Everything's okay. She's just her hip is bothering her, so she laid down a little earlier. She's in some pain. I'm not going to drag her to do the show, so she's actually going to call it a night early. So it's just going to be me tonight for the next 2 hours doing what I do. Got some things to talk about, some things to get off my chest. So it is officially the KL show. So we ain't got to worry about Tiffany and her chiming in. I'm just going to be buck wild tonight. So I don't know what I might say. And y'all better be prepared for it. If we talk about ratchetness tonight, I'm going right to the subject. I'm breaking all the protocols and everything. Nah, I'm just sure. But yeah, we are going to be talking about ratchetness tonight because I'm tired. I'm starting to wonder what's going on with our people. But we're going to get to that in a second. And like we do every week, I'm going to clear in on what my week has been like. It's actually been a very quiet week. Now that I'm on vacation for the summer, it has just been time to focus on myself. I actually started working out. I did a sleep study the other night. It was the worst thing in the world, man. I mean, as a big guy, my doctor ordered some tests. Hold on, let me back it up so I can fill you in on this all the way around. I decided that I wanted to start working out. So I decided to go to the doctor so I get clearance. So nothing happens. Don't want no tragedies, nothing like that. Okay, doctor said we're going to give you an EKG, echo, all that other stuff. So he ordered a sleep study. I had never been through a sleep study. Everybody's telling me always, don't worry about it. You just lay there, you go to sleep. And they watch you as you sleep and they record everything, and that's it. I said, okay, no problem. What's the worst thing that happened? First of all, I show up, and I don't like anybody who doesn't take their job. Like, if you don't like your job, that's your business. But the person that you're dealing with shouldn't feel that way. So when I meet this guy, he seems grumpy. He looked like a Santa. He looked like Santa. So that bothered me, first of all, that he looked like Santa Claus. But okay. But he just had no upbeat feeling about himself. He looked like he was just tired. He looked like he didn't want to be there. And it was coming through in the way that he was dealing with me. Because, you know, you walk in, he's like, you here for the sleep study? Why else would I walk in an office at 9 o'clock at night? If I'm not here for the sleep study, well, then I'm taking everything that you got. So he was just like, okay, step in the room here. I'm like, no good evening, no hello, how you doing? You don't check my credentials. I could have sent anybody in to do the sleep study. But okay, so we get down, I sit down, and I'm on the phone. He's like, you know, just watch TV for a little while. We'll get started. Okay, I'm thinking, this ain't the worst. I traveled all over the world and stayed at different hotels. I really wasn't upset. I was like, okay, nah, I can rock with this. I'm sitting there. He comes back. He gives me a pamphlet to fill out. So I'm like, okay, no problem. They want to know just in case you die in the middle of the night that you're not going to sue us and all other stuff. Okay, fine. I'm still following the procedure. So now I'm explaining to him, well, I tried to explain to him that a sleep study at 9 o'clock at night is not going to work because I don't go to sleep till late in the morning. But I said, okay. So I lay down in this bed. It was like a platform bed. And I don't know if you've ever seen these things. I think the ladies listening would know. It was like a bed inside a dresser. They're all connected. So the dresser is like an archway over the bed, and the bed protrudes from the archway. And it's a platform bed, very hard. And you're a big guy laying on a platform bed, not happening. But okay, I'm sitting on the bed, filling out the forms, finally get through all of that. And there was two other people that had came in that were in their private room. So now he comes in, and I had nicked my leg on the side of the platform. So I asked him for a Band-Aid. You would have thought I asked this guy for $100. I was like, do you have a Band-Aid? No. I was like, you're a doctor or whatever, a technician, whatever. You got a cart with all this stuff on it, you're not even going to go look for a Band-Aid? So he gives me a small gauze pad and some alcohol. And then, okay, I wipe my leg, clean it off, whatever. I go hand it to him, and he has on gloves now. He looks at me like, what do you want me to do with that? I'm like, could you at least put it on the cart? What do you want me to do? He's like, he huffed. He's like, ah. So at this point, I'm ready to walk out. Because I'm just feeling like, this ain't gonna work, but let's get through this. Fine. He starts putting on the leads. He slapping these leads up against my head like I'm a slave. I'm like, yo, is there a reason why you pressing this hard against my head? My head is clean shaven. If y'all don't know, I have a bald head. I keep a goatee on my face. I'm like, why are you pressing these things up against my head like this? So now I'm kind of in fight mode because I'm like, what's wrong with you? Fine. We hook up all these leads. Finally, he says, go ahead, lay down in the bed. All right, fine, lay down in the bed. Turns the light off. I'm watching TV. Now, remember now, it's now about 10:15. I don't go to bed at 10:15. All right, fine. I'm going to watch television. I figure I watch TV till I fall asleep. I had stayed up late the night before to try to make myself as tired as possible. It's like almost 12 o'clock. I still haven't went to sleep. I'm watching television, enjoying myself. All right, it's not that bad. Bed is not that bad. So this cat came into the room, did knock on the door, mind you. Says, give me the remote. I said, give you the remote? He said, this is a sleep study. You need to go to sleep. He talked to me like I was 14 years old. I said, excuse me. I said, I don't go to sleep there. You have to try. Dude took the remote, turned the TV off, and closed the door like this was summer camp. Yo, I'm laying there, amped up, angry. Yeah, I'm a 45-year-old man being treated like a teenager. Still couldn't sleep, and then that's when the hardness of this bed kicked in. I felt like I was laying on an old futon. So, to make a long story short, I think I slept all of 3 hours. So when he came in, so now about 3 a.m, I have to go to the bathroom. Now this is where I feel like, this is why I don't ever want to do another sleep study. He says, the microphone's on. If you need anything, just call out. I'll be watching. I'll come and, you know, assist you to go to the bathroom because you have all these leads on. And he has to hook up this carrying case to take with you so the leads will stay connected to you and so forth and so on. I'm calling out, yo, I got to go to the bathroom. Yo, I have to go to the bathroom. I sit up on the side of the bed, tap it on the microphone, everything. Now, of course, I don't want to move too much because I don't know what the leads are connected to. And I'm just feeling like, yo, this is just embarrassing. I'm sitting here really having to go to the bathroom. I don't want to rip all these leads off and have to take this test all over again. So I'm tapping the mic, I'm tapping the mic, I'm tapping the mic. Dude doesn't show up. So I said, okay. There was a lead on my finger, which I believe monitored my heart rate. I took that and I disconnected it. So it would register a flat line on his screen that I know. The minute I took that lead off and I disconnected that, he came running. Chest beat and everything. And I said, oh, I got your attention. And he said, why'd you do that? I said, I gotta go to the bathroom. So he's going to get angry at me because he said he turned the mic off because the television was bothering him. Why is the television in the room? Why do you put a television or radio access in the room for the people that are in there if they're not going to watch it? And if this is part of the routine that I have to sleep, why are you so cranky? So he basically had an attitude. Then I came back to the bed, tried to lay down. I'm just so upset. There's no way I could actually sleep. So finally, 6:30 in the morning, almost 9 hours later, you know, he's giving me some of the half-hearted results. He's like, oh, you know, you did stop breathing in your sleep, and you might have to wear a machine and all this other stuff. All he confirmed to me was what I already knew, and that's that I got to work out. And I got to get healthier, which I already knew, which is the whole reason for all of the visits to the doctor. But I am sorry. He also gave me extra motivation. Because if I got to deal with people like him, nah, I'm definitely going to get healthier. So to anybody that's going to be doing a sleep study, man, please. I hope you do not get cranky Santa Claus like I had. Because I'm telling you, not going to work for you. All right. Now, let's see. My wife normally does the news, and, you know, I hate when I don't have my wife with me because, you know, y'all don't realize we get to play behind the scenes, and so I'm all by myself, so I feel like I'm away at camp. So I'm going to read the news today. Now, she picked these news subjects, and so, you know, normally she has some depressing news that make you want to go jump off a bridge, but let's see what she got for us today. Man meets his daughter for the first time after thinking she was dead for 45 years. The feeling of loss, the feeling of losing a loved one is incredible. Charles Lutzo of Rockville, Illinois, went through it 45 years ago. His estranged wife, Stella, told him that the child that they conceived together died during birth. On Tuesday, Lutzo felt another indescribable feeling. Reuniting with his daughter, he thought was deceased, Carrie Abercrombie, did not die at birth. Rather, her mother had put her up for adoption and kept it secret from Lutzlow. Oh, see, that's just going to go right with what we're talking about, ratchetness. See, that's just ratchet. Okay, WIFR, a TV station in Rockford, captured the reunion on camera. It was the culmination of Abercrombie's curiosity. The Alabama resident found her brother using an adoption registry and Facebook. Lunchville did not think he'd ever see his daughter. Did not think he'd ever see his daughter. Stella never revealed what actually happened before passing away in 2003. We've been apart for 45 years now, back together, the father told the CBS affiliate. It's a godsend. Abercrombie grew up in Utah before moving to Alabama. She traveled on a bus to Illinois, where she met her father and extended family for the first time. The daughter is actually no stranger to Rockford, according to WIFR. She attended East High School in the city for her senior year in 1985. Now, how about that? You're in the city going to high school and don't even realize that your father lives in the same city. And 45 years later, y'all are finally reunited. That's crazy. But it's not as crazy as you think, because if any of you have ever read my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, there's actually a story in there that talks about my father and I not reconnecting until 39 years. So it took us 39 years to finally lay eyes on each other and to finally meet and talk. So this happens more often than you realize. And my son, I found out about 2 years later, we reconnected. Well, I can't even reconnect. We connected for the first time 26 years after his birth, because his mother had never told him that I was his father. So 26 years later, and through Facebook, we actually met and was able to connect with each other, and we've been cool ever since. So I guess women and men have their reasons for the things that they do, but I don't know. I just don't think you should keep it away from the father or mother about the situation. I don't know how you keep it from the mother. She had the baby, but I don't think any parent should be kept away from the child, regardless of what the situation is. And the subject tonight, again, we're going to be talking about ratchetness later on. These are some of the things that we want to discuss, I guess. You know, I want to send this out to anyone listening. You know, if you get into a situation with somebody and a pregnancy occurs, don't take it out on the child. Don't make the child pay because the two of you can't figure out what's going on between the two of you. Give that child an opportunity at knowing the parent. If y'all can't work it out, find some type of balance. I don't know. I just know we got a little too much of this foolishness going on. But I digress. Let me continue with the news. A plea deal offered to Cleveland kidnap suspect, Ariel Castro TV station reports. Yeah, Tip read about this before, the guy that kidnapped the young ladies in Cleveland. What kind of plea deal? Okay. A plea deal has been offered to the man accused of kidnapping three Cleveland women and raping them repeatedly while he held them captive in his home during the past decade, according to the Cleveland Times station. If Ariel Castro, 53, of Cleveland, accepts the deal, he would avoid the death penalty, according to a report from WKYC-TV in Cleveland. The deal, however, has not been finalized. A final pretrial hearing has been scheduled for Friday morning, said a spokesman, the judge Michael Russo, who is presiding over the case. Marie Russo, Chattahooga County prosecutor, Timothy McGinty's spokeswoman, said she could not confirm if a formal deal had been offered to Castro. Phone calls to Castro defense attorneys were not immediately returned. Prosecutors and defense attorneys met in Russo's courtroom on Wednesday and said they were working towards a plea deal. A trial for Castro is scheduled for August 5th. He has pleaded not guilty to the 977 charges. Now, hold on a second. When you're charged with close to 1,000 things, do we even have to figure out a time? It's just you're going to go to jail forever. 977 charges, including murder, rape, and kidnapping. Who did he murder? This is why I need my wife here, because she could explain to me that, because I didn't know he murdered anybody, rape and kidnapping. According to the indictments, he is accused of beating and starving one of the women to force her to miscarriage. Okay, that's the murder, because they must consider the fetus as a baby. Okay, a charge that could lead to the death penalty. Got that. The woman, Gina DeJesus, 23, Michelle Knight, 32, and Amanda Berry, 27, were freed from their Castro's home of the west side of Cleveland on May 6th, along with Berry's six-year-old daughter, who was fathered by Castro during the captivity. And notice how they don't even mention the brother who actually made the phone call after they clowned him for so many times and all that time. They don't even mention the brother that actually placed the call. Sad. Brother should get credit. Every time the story should be mentioned, his name should be mentioned, so he becomes a hero instead of them clowning him online and on the news about his background and stuff like that. Sometimes things in this country just make you wonder. Okay, and the final story in the news tonight. I have no idea why Tiff chose this, but I guess she just wanted to have some fun. Spend the night in the world's first bouncy house hotel. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I said the world's first bouncy house hotel. In the world's first bouncy house hotel room, it is suspended in the air. It is an art illustration. Oh, and it costs $50,000 per night. Besides being suspended 22 feet in the air, the hotel rehearsal, as it's called, is an inflatable hotel room that features a bed, a couch, a small bathroom with a shower, sink, and toilet. The hotel rehearsal is an archaeological art installation by artist Alex Sweeter that was created as part of the Biennial of America. It was moving around downtown Denver now through August 23rd. At $50,000 per night, you may be better off buying a bouncy castle and spending the weekend in your backyard. You know what? I'm going to stop this right here. First of all, there's some stupid things that are out there in the world. And a $50,000 a night bouncy room. If you have that type of money, and you want to waste that type of money, tell you what, come to my house, get you a bouncy castle, like the person said. You can put it right in my backyard. You don't even have to give me 50. Give me $10,000. I'll make sure you have, I'll be the room service, all of that. Because that's just a waste of damn money. That's like when I see the ice castle, the ice hotel, everything's made of ice, and then when it's all said and done, they just let it melt. Come on, man. There's people starving in the street. I just can't. I ain't even going to finish reading this because there's people out in the world starving, and we got folks paying $50,000 a night for bouncy hotel rooms. Only in America, baby. So, as we are coming up to the end of this first half now, we're going to come back and we're going to get right into the conversation tonight and this ratchetness. And the reason why I chose tonight's topic, actually, I did not know that Tiff was not going to be with me because we were actually talking about it in the car when I picked up from work. I was watching some videos earlier. Oh, and by the way, please, let me back up. Take this number down. This is the caller number if you want to call in tonight because I would love to hear your stories of ratchetness. 646-200-3838. That is the caller number. Make sure you call in. Speak to the host. The host will let me know that you want to get in, and we can take it from there and get you on, and we can hear your stories of ratchetness. Because I don't know about anybody else. Well, you know what? I'm going to save it. Because I just feel that I don't know if it's the technology. Maybe somebody that's listening can call in and tell me. I don't know if this ratchetness has been there, has always been there. We just didn't see it because we didn't have the technology. I don't know if it's websites like World Star Hip Hop, Media Takeout, YouTube. I don't know if it's the recession and folks just aren't working. I don't know what it is. And it's not just people of color, because there's a lot of Asian ratchetness, white ratchetness. There's just ratchetness. And first of all, let's define ratchetness. That's, I guess, the new term for just anything ghetto-like, but I think it's a lower degree, if that was even possible. Because there's just some things that people are putting on video and putting on the internet for the entertainment of others that is scary, scarily sad. I mean, just the things that you see that people take the time out to videotape, and then hearing the things that people say, it is shocking sometimes. It is shockingly stupid. And it's like a car accident. You want to turn away, but you're going, can this get any worse? And I'm going to talk about a few of the videos that I watched today because I was like, you know what? I got to gear up for tonight's show. So I got to see what type of ratchet. So I went and looked at a couple of ratchet videos. A person actually had a link on their Facebook page because it started out like a hood fight. And I just kept clicking forward and looking at the different videos. And every time I thought I had seen from the pregnant prostitutes fighting in the Burger King parking lot to what looked like the Hatfield Joneses to the McCoy Jacksons in the back of some type of apartment building in some poor neighborhood, it was, I'll explain that too, to two old women and the other one knocking the other one out because she was drunk in broad daylight. Just, and like I said, if you have any stories of ratchetness that you want to bring to the table to talk about, you know, what happened, or if you saw a video that just stood out to you, let's talk about it tonight on Reality and Relationships, because these relationships are connected to all of us, because people watch these videos and people believe that many of us act this way, and we seem to have more of these videos daily. So the folks who are actually trying to make things happen in the world, white, black, and indifferent, are now the minority. And the majority should not be the ratchet folks who's just putting out whatever. So we can definitely talk about it. So as we come up on the end of the first half of an hour, I am your host, KL Belvin. My lovely wife is not with me tonight, but I'm going to brave through this and we're going to have some fun. This is Reality and Relationships. We'll be back in two songs and we're going to talk about some ratchetness. See you in a minute.
Have a million thoughts running through your head. Oh, oh, think about where you at. Late night while laying in the bed. And I wonder, when you're out of mind, do you ever have a thought about me?
Right now, if you need. Hardly breathe, wondering what she means.
you know, you got to give it up to the GQ Palace DJs in the background. They always choose outstanding music. And let me get this. I want to make sure I get this right. That was listening to Lost Children by G.I.T.O. And the other one was Idris Worth Your Time. And I just enjoy the music. I sit back and I become a fan once I take a break, enjoying the songs that they choose. So definitely shout out to GQ Palace, the DJ doing their thing in the background. Okay. Ratchetness. You know what? I got to do it. I got to talk about it because, you know, I try to live my life in a way that always remember who I am and what I'm trying to do, and I always try to act a certain way. But when I watch videos, when I'm out in the street, when I'm on the bus, and I see what I believe is just lower than ghetto-ness, ratchetness is just the next step down. That's the way for me, because it's just ridiculous. It's just behavior that just doesn't make any logical sense. Where you almost stop and go, they don't see how bad that sound or how bad they acted. I saw some videos today. Actually, you know what? We're gonna stop right there because we're gonna take a call, and I'll get into some of the videos I saw today. I want to take a call right now. We got Angie on the line. Angie on the line?
Yes. What's up, KL?
Hey, what's up, Angie? How we doing, love? How's it going?
It's going good. It's going. Listen, I can't complain. You know what I'm saying?
That's
I look at somebody else's story and say, I got it good.
Yeah, listen, they out there too after what I've seen, these horrible videos I've seen the last couple
listen,
of days.
Listen, man. Let me tell you. I so agree with you 1,000% because I've been watching. I seen a video on Facebook the other day where his mom was fighting a daughter.
Oh.
And see? I mean, she was fighting her like she was a stranger in the street about something she said. Like, really? Are you serious?
Wait. It was the mother and daughter fighting each other.
The mother was beating the daughter down. The daughter kept saying, Ma, stop. She's like, bitch, excuse me, be whatever. Whatever you said, be man enough to say you said it. And I mean, it was just, it gave me such a headache because it made us look so bad.
Hold on one second, Andy. You see what ratchet behavior do? Ratchet behavior caused you to start to act out your own what thing. Here you about to curse just because you're watching some ratchetness.
Take you all out of character, doesn't it? Let me tell you. Like, oh my God, I forgot where I was at for a second. It's not a Monday night, you know? But I mean, it was just so demeaning. And like, the reality shows, you know what I'm saying? Even though I watch them because I find them very funny. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, they are so ratchet. So,
somebody actually just asked me, what is ratchetness? Anybody listening, let me explain to you my definition of ratchetness, because Lord knows it's not a real word. So I don't want you looking for the dictionary and you can't find ratchetness. Like, what is Kale talking about? Ratchetness is just ghetto behavior to the nth degree. Just behavior that just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Behavior that you sit back and go, why would any adult or whoever act this way? And it's not just being uneducated. It's just being ignorant.
Ignorant.
I mean, the whole ghetto term of the word, ignorant.
Yes. That's what I start calling people hood niggers.
If you want to say niggers, now the dictionary says a nigger is an ignorant person. Well,
yeah,
here is where you can say nigger if you white and be correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you something. What you see people do out here now, this is my question to anybody listening. I'm going to ask you two answers. Are we seeing this now because the technology is showing it to us and this has always been there? Or is this now something that grew because of the technology that we have that folks, and you mentioned it when you said reality TV shows, and actually I'm going to get to that later too. Is this just behavior that has grown because of the technology?
Well, yeah, as one part, yes. And now now with that, it's a lot of opportunities afforded to people, such as people getting paid to do certain things, you know what I'm saying? So now people can feel they sell themselves a little short for a few dollars. And
no doubt.
It's crazy now you have this image. Now you have this image of being a hood booger. That's just what I call a hood booger.
A hood booger.
You know what I'm saying? For that few little dollars. Now you got to spend whatever little bit of money you made on that show to try to boost your image back up. You know what I'm saying? You got to go buy the boobs and the butt and the, you know what I'm saying, the hair.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to allow you to enjoy who you are naturally.
Yeah,
so
it's like I look at it, and like I said, with the reality shows, and I'm gonna get to that because I believe that's like the mountain that a lot of the ratchetness wants to get to. Like a lot of folks that just do whatever is hoping to become the next Flavor Flav, and that's
absolutely
where this to me where everything started with this foolishness is. Let's take a very ugly man, put him in a room with very beautiful women that we know it ain't real. And let's try to sell the world just blatant sex. Let's just somehow convince all these women that they have to have sex with this ugly dude because then everyone will watch because they'll go, they can't. They're not really going to get it in.
And then you
stretch the boundaries. But my thing is, I think away from the stage television, because we know that that's not reality. I think the thing that has really bothered me is the reality of the things that I'm watching. Like today, I watched some apartment complex and God knows where, could have been anywhere because they all look the same. And it was a group. I mean, 8 or 9 or 10 to one side, 8 or 9 or 10 to the other side. And it looked like a animal ritual.
Wow.
So one chick is waving a broom, another chick is selling agreement, and a dude is standing there. So he comes out a little bit further away from the crowd, like the king gorilla, and he's clapping his hands and everything else. And it's like, okay, so what are y'all going to do? So he runs up on the chick with the broom. She swings. He takes a little hit with the broom and then tries to punch in her face. So now when he pulls the broom away, here comes some dude with like a tree trunk, and they rush up on the chicks, and they straight beating the chicks with the tree trunk and the broom. And I'm like, wait a minute. So now they turn around and run back to their little crew. And I'm like, am I watching Animal Planet?
Because now the food
comes out with a vacuum cleaner for the other side that just got beat. He's got a vacuum cleaner.
Can't.
I'm like, well, that's a vacuum.
That's crazy.
And this went on for like 4 minutes. And I'm like, yo, my brain just went dead for like
four minutes. It's frustrating. I'm like, you know what? I can't anymore. I can't even do it.
The chick that's videotaping it the whole time is basically yelling out, you know, I got the action, I'm this. And I'm like, so is this what we're doing now? Is this what...
Yeah, ghetto directors.
I don't get it. It's like, so we get so excited that we got the shot of the violence.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? Because there's no filtering of things that can go on the internet and stuff like that. You're allowed to put up whatever you want to. You know what I'm saying? And it was one page on, I had a page on Facebook that was called, it was an adult site or whatever, but there was nothing that really could stop anybody from going in it. Anybody could say they're 18 years and older. You understand what I'm saying? And it's just no filtering. Anything goes right now. And again, I'm sure it's been there for years and years. It's been there, not to this extent, but it's always been some type of ratchetness out there. But now it's just exposed tenfold. You know what
I'm saying? Without question. World Star Hip Hop. You know, as an educator, I always try to stay on top of the things that affect our children that do whatever. And actually, I want to quickly if anybody wants to get into conversations about this, go to Facebook group GQ Palace General Question. That's GEEQUE.palace.generalquestion, and you can get into the background conversation that's going on about the ratchetness of our people.
Mm-hmm.
But the definition was put up. And the Urban Dictionary, and it's a shame that we have to have an Urban Dictionary, but okay. That ratchet is a diva mostly from urban cities and ghettos that has reason to believe she is every man's eye candy. Unfortunately, she's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it has now morphed into anything that's just so wrong to your eyes that they start to burn when you're watching it. Like, when you start to feel your brain actually shrinking when you're watching what's going on. And you know what? I even think before World Star Hip Hop, it was Hot Ghetto Mess.
Mm-hmm.
I think is what really started to bring to light, like, ratchet pictures. Because we didn't have visual access at the time. So in my opinion, if somebody has something different, please call in if they think it goes to something different. But I believe what really started to give this light was Hot Ghetto Mess started to just search the net for pictures of folks that just were a hot ghetto mess.
Right.
Almost highlight the birth of ratchetness. And then it morphed into something crazy because, you know, I watched alcoholics getting beat up. I see crackheads being assaulted. I see now all of the fights that we put on, the prostitution. And the thing that is scaring me is that we're no longer trying to help the situation. We can't wait to catch the camera on something because we want to get on, because we want to be on shows like Top 0. Jack has a video show. There's another one, America's Funny Videos too, but there's another one that comes on. And there's so many of these shows now that actual internet shows have come up just by showing videos from YouTube, World Star Hip Hop, Media Takeout. So folks are trying to out ratchet each other. I've seen a video of prostitutes fighting in the street, and what they were fighting over was $16 and a bag of weed.
That's crazy.
And the chick is yelling out, I S more D than you, and I F better than you.
I'm
like, and she's out there with no drawers on.
Nothing.
And the other chick is sagging
to her ankles.
Exactly. I'm like, well, where are you making money? Because who's paying for that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, but these are young women. Like, they're not old women. These had to be in their 20s. And I'm like, what has you in the street naked?
What's in that little demon that keeps sucking you there?
And this is what we have to consider, because here's the thing, and anybody listening, again, you're listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night. We're all connected. This is a relationship that we're all connected to, because when laws change to deal with the ratchetness, innocent and honest folks may get caught up in things that may appear ratchet, when it may not be. And if laws are starting to be erected to deal with the ratchetness, now you run the risk of ordinary folks going to jail or losing stuff behind just trash.
Yeah.
And it is ridiculous.
The travesties that comes from ratchetness. That's true.
What else going on, Angie?
Nothing much, but you know what? I was listening to you also speak about you having a sleep study, because I've had three of them done. And it does.
Okay.
When you get in there, it's hard to sleep. With you looking like the $6 million man with all those wires and everything connected.
And some grumpy Santa Claus. Imagine he got to be up overnight. You lucky I ain't get into no ratchetness and rough him off and put him in the sleep study and go inside the booth and just chill.
Yes. Just take you all out of character. Like, start ripping the wires up. Like, listen, I ain't going through all this. You know what I'm saying? Listen, my thing is, if you don't like your job, change it. Go find you something else to do. Don't bring me your attitude. I don't need that.
But what I'm going to do is, because I know he works with the doctor who, you know, set up the study. When I go to meet with the doctor to go over all the results and everything like that, I'm going to mention to him that, you know, you got this guy down here who is who's just not friendly.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. My thing is, listen. If you've got a job, just like you said, you should have some type of decorum about the job.
Absolutely.
But I think the thing that bothered me more is that, okay, when you have a situation where a person is coming into a sleep study or anything new that has to do with a medical condition, you don't know how a person is feeling.
Even though
I'm the steadiest looking person on the planet, you still have to treat me
like a new compassion.
Something. What happened to bedside manner? Now it's just sit down, sit up here, do whatever. It's like,
exactly. Oh, you got to go to the bathroom again. Oh my God! Like, listen, you already know this comes along with the territory. I'm not surprising you with anything here, and it's a part of your job. Don't act like you don't want to do your job. You should have called in if you wasn't feeling good.
I could just pee in the corner and get real ratchet and be like, yo, man, I ain't wanna get up. You said sleep, so I peed on the floor, you know.
You could get to me at times. You turned the monitor off.
What's the alternative? It's like if you don't want to, like when he got mad at me, I'm saying you turned the mic off because you said the television was bothering. Well, what's the television in here for?
Yeah, why put it in there?
You know, these are the things that, and he looked at me like, and I'm like, so if you come in and you said get comfortable, the TV's in here for me to try to get as close to
put me in my comfort zone, exactly.
Thank you. So I just said, if I got to do it again, which I think I may have to just double check, whatever, I'm bringing my iPod, I'll listen to something, mm-hmm. and I'll make sure the night before, I'm going to stay up all night, so I'm mm-hmm. dragging.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute that he put those leaves on, I'm passing out. So it wouldn't make a difference if I was sleeping on bricks. Because I don't even want to bother with Santa.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's not on that shift, you know, on that night when you got to go again.
I'm hoping.
It makes a big difference.
He didn't tell me nothing I didn't already know. And as a big guy, I knew that at different times in the night, my breathing changes. My wife had told me that before. That's the whole reason why I'm starting to work out now
mm-hmm.
and do all the things I need to do. My thing was, let's just go through the battery of tests to get everything out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So this way, I have records of everything from the time, and then we go from there. So this way, as things start to change to the better, which they will.
Oh, sure they will.
When I took the initial test.
And let me tell you, if you do happen to sleep with the machine, you're gonna feel 100%. I'm not gonna say 100%, but you're gonna feel a lot better the next morning because I do. I have a CPAP, and it helps tremendously to where you're not waking up all the time in the middle of the night, and it'll take you to get used to it of like the first couple of nights with the but it's for your benefit, definitely.
That's the thing, is I don't wake up. Like, the guy asked me that too. He said, this study is to help you because of the problems you're having sleeping. I'm like, I don't have any problems sleeping. Yes, my wife tells me about the breathing issues or whatever, but I've gone through that being a big guy. I understand it, and I know that's what I need to change in terms of getting healthier.
Mm-hmm.
But once I go to bed, I'm asleep. I don't wake up. But I only sleep 4 to 5 to 6 hours anyway because I'm just conditioned to do that because I work
right
all the time. Plus, I worked an overnight shift for years ago, and it's always it threw off my internal clock. So when everybody else is kind of getting ready to go to bed, I'm actually waking up and ready to go do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I normally sleep, like now, summertime, I ain't got to work. I go to sleep like 3, 4 in the morning, and
mm-hmm.
I get up right after Maury's going off, and I'm good for the day. And
that's another ratchet show.
I just said that. That's a more ratchetness. You know what?
Another ratchet show.
Yeah, another ratchet show. Well, listen, Angie, before I go on, tell them who you are, darling. Tell them where they can find you, baby.
This is Angie. I'm sorry, you got me cracking up. This is Angie from the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio. I am a host alongside Rachel and T. On Wednesday nights, you can catch us from 7 to 9 at 646-238-38. Again, we deal with adult topics, you know what I'm saying? We deal with many different topics. And you can catch us on Wednesday nights.
What time?
7 p.m., 7 to 9.
Mm-hmm. Same station, same call-in, so you don't have to change anything on your computer. All you have to do is sign in at 7 o'clock. And you can catch the Diva Squad. They are friends of the show. Actually, all the shows are friends of the show here.
Absolutely.
And their show's on every night. So you should be checking out GQ Palace
every night
because
every
there's
night
good radio going on.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Every night.
And to mention that now there's a new part of the show on Monday nights where they have the Unsigned Artist Radio, where if you have artists out there that has radio ready music or whatever, you can get in touch with any of the GQ Palace staff or whatever, and let them know what kind of music or whatever you have, and we'll speak to the CEO and it can be played. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But it must be radio ready.
That's a beautiful thing. And you know what? Listen, this is what it's about. Brothers and sisters doing for brothers and sisters, trying to give you an alternative to what's on the air now. Good programming, good shows,
absolutely.
Good people. So
without ratchetness.
Palace Radio. So this way you can definitely enjoy the different shows that's going on. And check out the Diva Squad, especially with my girl Ann.
Yes.
I know she'll probably be calling in sometime before the night's over.
That's
but
right.
Ann, thank you as always.
Please, my pleasure.
You and the lady. All right.
Hey, shout out to Tiff. Get that rest, girl.
Yeah, she's faking. Ain't nothing wrong with her. She ain't just didn't feel like working tonight. That's what I
was. Listen, I've walked in those shoes, girl. Go put your feet up and do nothing.
Yeah, man. I told her I ain't working that hard the first trimester. I'll go hard the second and third trimester.
First trimester is when she needs it. Are you kidding? Oh.
Yeah, I know.
That's
she's taking advantage of it. It's all right. That's why I got to think. I got to work hard just for her and the baby. Thanks
that's
a lot, cool. love.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. That's energy, guys. Wednesday night from 7 to 9. Make sure you check them out on GQ Palace Radio. Like I said, there's a lot going on with GQ Palace. Let me tell you something. Getting back to ratchetness. Now, you know, now that I said Maury, I got to take it back. I thought it was Hot Ghetto Mess. No. Maury is as guilty to the ratchetness going on in the world as anything else. And I just wrote a little something on Facebook about ratchetness, about Maury, excuse me, because Maury is an example of, I remember when Maury Povich used to do real talk show stuff. He used to have guests, he used to have performances, and what he realized is that, why do all of that when people just want the ratchetness? So he just stopped and said, you know what, I'm going to do 9,000 DNA tests and are you a man, aren't you a man type programming. And, you know, the wayward teens and fat kids. That's all he does. Stuff that's just going to make you shake your head, but keep you tuning in because when I get up, let me paint the picture for you. Tiff gets up before me because, like I said, I go to bed at 3:30, 4. Actually, I go to bed like 4:30, 5 o'clock. Tiff gets up at 5. So she watches Channel 11 to watch the news before she goes to work. So when I wake up, TV is on, Maury's on. And actually, I get up every morning, like 9:30, 10 o'clock. I only sleep 4 or 5 hours. So I'm laying there in bed, so I said, let me watch some of this foolishness. And every time you go, I think I've seen the worst that it can get. No. Just yesterday, it was my husband got my sister pregnant, but we're not sure. And the sister, so he goes, why are you excited? Because if I am the father, that means it's going to be their brother and their cousin. She's like, so? And I'm going, honey, that is the height of this ignorance. And so, of course, when they find, say, yes, he is the father, she's jumping up and dancing like she achieved something. You've just destroyed your family. Your sister and you share the same baby daddy. She was married to him, and now your children are brother and sister and cousins all mixed in. Can we get any more ratchet than that? At what point do we stop? And Maury's laughing all the way to the bank because, you know, I'm sorry. Where's the counseling after he destroys these families? I don't care about the follow-up shows. Let's see what they're doing now. Maury, we're still together. All of us living in the same hut. Come on, man, stop. It's like Maury brings these folks on just to destroy them because it makes for great TV, and they keep lining up to come. My son slept with my best friend's sister, who's actually the cousin. Come on. And Maury sits back and goes, if you want to look for your other baby daddy, bring him on the show. We'll help you out. So Maury's going to get his ratings regardless. Laughing all the way to the bank. And it's not just a black thing, because there's some, oh, I was about to curse. See how the ratchetness causes me to get? You see, it shows you the underbelly that shouldn't be on TV. See, some of these people should never actually be seen in public light, because that's not benefiting anyone. And Maury sits back there laughing, knowing that he wouldn't have anything to do with the people that come on that stage other than the fact that they're helping him laugh to the bank. Same thing with World Star Hip Hop. And I'm saying these sites, not that I'm trying to promote it, because if you want to go take a look to see what I'm talking about, go to World Star Hip Hop and look at how many videos promote just insane ratchetness, insane behavior. Just How many videos of somebody getting assaulted can we watch? How many videos of young girls twerking in a church, in a graveyard, in school, and in the hospital, and wherever? It's like, come on, how many videos can we see of crackheads just being assaulted because they have an addiction? And yes, some of them are hilarious. Some of them are funny. Listen, funny is funny. But it's still sad because, you know what? That's somebody who's lost their dignity. Somebody who has just lost their soul, because some of them, I've even seen mental retarded prostitutes, developmentally disabled prostitutes, that instead of trying to help, they got a camera in the face, can barely speak. And it's like, why? And the technology that's out there now is just ridiculous, because now our phones, the cameras are so good that we don't have to run and get another camera now. We got 8 megapixel cameras, 10 megapixel phones right now on our that have these type cameras that do quality HD videos, that within 10-15 seconds that video is up on Facebook, on Google Plus, on whatever. What about the lives that are destroyed? Let me let you in on a secret. A friend of mine, I used to go to parties with full figured women. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a fan of full figured women, not just because my wife is full figured. I've been loving full figured women my whole life. To me, I only dated women size 14 or better. I was at a party in Virginia, and a young lady, and you've probably seen this picture, so what I'm going to say is probably going to, you probably know about it. The young lady was wearing SpongeBob pajamas. Now, all you have to do is put in SpongeBob on your Google search. I don't care if it's Bing, Explorer, Chrome, whatever. Put in SpongeBob. And the picture comes up with this heavyset black girl with her face down, with this sad or crazy looking look to her face, with these tight SpongeBob pajamas on. That young lady is a personal friend of mine. Now, why I feel bad is she was, because we haven't spoken in years, because she stopped coming out into public because the picture went viral to such a degree that people were outright abusing her. And just now, when she put that on, yes, it was a poor choice in how the pajamas fit her. I can't rock and say that it wasn't, but she was at a party for full figured women and the admirers of. She never expected someone to take pictures at the party, at the pajama party, and then put those on the internet. Now, unfortunately, she should have realized that anytime you're in public, somebody can do something like that. But okay, we're talking 2003. I'll say 2003, 2004, around that time. Might even be 2002. I'm not exactly sure. And the way I see the internet, the weight of a viral video crush her spirit, to make her not even want to leave the house. I believe she moved. I think she's living in New Jersey. I think she moved. But where can you move to when a video goes viral or a picture goes viral and the whole world sees it? And if you're next to your computer, just simply put in SpongeBob and you'll see it come up. You'll see it come up, and then you just circle through some of the pictures and you'll see the heavyset black lady. She looks like a big baby. That's the way the picture caught her. And the sad part is, anybody can take a picture where their face is distorted in a particular thing, and if they're not, and I'm hoping, actually I'm doing a Google search as I'm talking to you, and actually I got through the first page without seeing any pictures of her, and I'm happy about that, because I know for a while it was like number one picture. And people of size are the easiest targets for ratchet videos, ratchetness photos, everything like that, because they're already targets because of their size. And listen, they're not innocent. Listen, some of them go out here and forget what size they are and do some foolishness that puts them in some of the positions they're in. So, you know, it's whatever. I just feel that, and my question to anybody listening, and you can call in and answer it if you like, 646-200-3838. is, has this ratchetness always been there and we just didn't know it, and now the technology is showing it? Or has this ratchetness, the level of ratchetness that we have now, is it the birth from the technology as it is? And so now it is because we have the technology, folks are going to that extent. If you want to call in and talk about it, feel free. Call in and let me know. And actually, if you want to talk about it online, if you can't get in next to a phone or something like that, you can go to GQ Palace. You can go to Facebook groups and go to GQ Palace General Question. Just search and just put in Facebook, GQ Palace General Question. Sign in, come on in and ask us the questions. We're holding a conversation behind the scenes. Every time the show is on, you can definitely get into the conversation, some pictures and some other stuff there, discussing the ratchetness that we're talking about. Because, you know, Flavor Love, these shows come on where they sell you. I don't know what the shows are now. I don't know what the shows were then. They got so many. I listen to the conversations, and I see that in the group. There's a picture of Stevie J. I hear his name. I actually don't know what he is. I've never watched Love and Hip Hop. I've never watched Basketball Wives. I don't watch a lot of regular television simply because I don't. I just don't. There's so much that's on TV now that is confusing to me, and I just don't rock with certain things. And I'm not knocking anybody's lifestyle, but there's just certain things I don't rock with. And I can't, and I don't get it. And then it just seems like we're trying to find ways to find even more ratchet situations. We're trying to find more when people clearly need some type of help. We seem to keep looking for other things to come about. I'm looking now and I'm seeing ratchet hood rat boxing with no panties on. You know, it's like a big black chick pops a molly and sweats all over a Scepter bus. Now, that one someone had on their Facebook page, because someone said, oh, my God, only in Philly. And the chick was on the bus losing her mind. And it was just, and the sad part about it was, I think that I knew the chick. She looked familiar, and I was like, oh, my God, I hope that's not a friend of mine that lives down there in Philly. But it just seems like there's clearly some type of mental issue, instability, drug issue, just something. But there's just something going on that has people just twisted. And it's crazy. And people are whooping out their cameras so quickly, but no one's offering help. No one's saying, come on, sweetheart, cover up. I remember one time I saw a young lady out with her clothes off. And I was like, all right, come on, sister, we got to get you some help. And people were like, come on, big man, get out of the way, man, get we can take these pictures. And I'm like, so instead of y'all mad that I'm trying to help her because y'all can't videotape her? And everyone, I guess, you know, they say everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame. At what cost? At what cost? You know, at what point do we draw the line and realize that this is damaging for everyone? Because here's my fear. When we promote the ratchetness as it is, and I mean it's being promoted, don't get into it today. Oh, thank you, love. If you're in GQ Palace, General Question, the picture was placed in there of my friend. Actually, I'm in that party. I'm standing like 3 feet from her. I'm glad you don't see me because I would have had to explain what's going on. Anybody makes faces when they're dancing, they're doing whatever. Was it a poor choice of clothing that she chose? Yes. But again, it's a pajama party, and it's a pajama party for full-figured women. So things are not going to seem the same way for full-figured women. And I'm talking about large women. These ain't small women, full-figured women. She's not expecting to have her picture. Like, I remember somebody saying, well, how did that fat D come out dressed like that? And she needs to be ashamed of herself. Well, if she's coming out to an event that she believes is catered to women like herself, what does she got to be ashamed of? She's coming to an event that she felt was comfortable for her, and here's someone inside the event decided to clown her because when they took the picture and saw how it came out, they put it on the internet and it went viral. But I've seen I seen that it destroyed her emotionally. I seen that it destroyed her character. She was a very bubbly, very nice young lady who she became so withdrawn and was basically caught in a state of depression, and then we just lost contact and we stopped talking. She used to be very outgoing, used to come out to these different events. And I was a part of those circles from 1998 to 2006. And yeah, so it was around 2003, 2004, and never seen her again and haven't spoken to her. And but I do know up until the time that she fell off the grid, this really damaged her emotionally. So that's why I have such a problem with what people put out, like fat, like Hot Ghetto Mess with Cruz, people's Yahoo pages, and those internet heads like me that's been on the internet for years. You remember when Yahoo clubs and Yahoo groups and MSN clubs and AOL clubs and the AOL group pages, all of that. You know, people were putting up pictures, not as much because it took so long for them to load. So video just wasn't the thing. It was pictures. But Hot Ghetto Mess would basically cruise everyone's pictures before MySpace came around and would just take those pictures and put them out just to laugh at folks. Well, some people were being laughed at just because they were heavy. There was nothing wrong with them except they were heavy. Now I'm saying, well, at what point do we protect these young ladies? Like, I feel that picture should have never been taken. And I believe that it somehow, if I was her, I would have tried to track down who took that picture. But in the end, an innocent person was damaged just because they chose something that they thought might have been funny or cute, and then somebody takes a picture of it because of her size, and then they just caught her in a position with the face that she made. It was the perfect storm. The clothing didn't fit the way everybody expected it to fit. Her body's in a position, and then the face that she make with the position of her body makes her even look sillier. Put that all together, you have somebody's soul that was destroyed. So there is a price for ratchetness. There's a price when we allow ratchetness to just run rampant, because now people start to look for it. And now, let me tell you something. Instagram is an extension of that ratchetness, because now we got folks taking pictures just for the sake of taking pictures. You can't sit on the subway and just relax and try to get some sleep because somebody wants to try to take a picture to clown you. You put on some old clothes just because you feel like being comfortable, and you're on somebody's website, and you scratch your nose. Hell, pick your nose. It's my nose. If I want to get what's in there out, you're going to be on somebody's video and somebody's what's name. And the ratchetness continues because we seem to get such joy out of what we see in the negatives from others. So again, anybody want to call in, feel free, 646-200-3838, because I'm telling you, it doesn't get any better, man. And I definitely want to go back to television for a second, because Tiff and I was up for a show on VH1. Actually, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here, and I'm going to tell you about the show that Tiff and I was up for on VH1, because actually I've been up for The Biggest Loser and The Makeover. I think I interviewed for that one too, whatever that one is on ABC. But anyway, we're going to be back in two songs, and we will definitely talk about the TV side of things. This is Reality and Relationship, or for tonight, the KL Belvin Show, and we will be back in two songs.
Yeah. Union, baby. Remake.
Union. You know. Red. How can I describe the feeling that I get when I stare deep into your eyes? When you're gone, I am sick, baby. What would you prescribe? Your presence alone is penicillin. Anticipating till you come home to give me healing. I laugh as I sit reminiscing on all the kind things that you do. Your intentions from the random back rub to the hours that you put in when you standing in the kitchen. There's so much more to mention. Your style plus your smile is incredible, and all your sweet ways makes you edible. And you ain't sweating all these niggas trying to get at you. I can't lie, girl, sometimes I want a better view. You make a nigga wanna marry you. No joke, ma, I wouldn't Jim Carrey you. You got me locked, ma, I'm caged in, lost in your love, girl, you are that amazing.
Oh, baby girl, you hear my words, just know that they come.
again, it's true, yeah.
Like ocean water, beach sand. Fuck what he, she saying. We plan on ignoring all the rumors. Wish it could've happened sooner. You brighten up my day without your voice. It is Luna, the only girl I'd ever consider having my junior. And the daughter be as pretty as a mama is. All day I'm thinking about you. That's what my problem is. But whatever the problem, you help the situation. Never get sick of my ways with your consistent patience. And never mind these commentators that insist on hating. You don't even carry the center basic. The air love song I write, I swear you my thing. Lord, you even through my mistakes. For that, you my queen. I'm your king to the days and in these days. I shall remind you, baby, you amazing.
I pray for a woman just like you. I love you.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. I am your host, KL Belvin. And yes, I am doing it without my lovely and pregnant wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. So every Thursday from 8 to 10, this is what we do here on GQ Palace Radio. So let's get back to where we were. And again, if you want to call in 646-200-3838. If you're on the line listening from your phone, just press the 1. Just hit the 1 button and come on in. Let the host know who you are and let's have a conversation for the last 40 plus minutes. You know, I think in the GQ Palace general questioning, you know, it was stated that hope that I hear from her. It's been close to 10 years now, and I've kind of just hope that, you know, with all the things that I do out on the internet, that my friend would see me and just reach out to let me know how she's doing. But no one that I know that knew her had seen her. We don't know where she moved. Nothing. And like I said, before she cut off all ties, I knew she was in a bad place emotionally. And, you know, it makes me wonder, ratchetness is just an extension of ignorance. And often, ignorance is an extension of something else, or the lack thereof. Now, we put a lot of emphasis on going to school. We put a lot of emphasis on going to college. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason why we put so much weight on finishing school. But it goes deeper than that. Because some of this ratchetness is starting right out the womb. Children are being born to ratchet situations. So they don't have a choice. And ratchetness is all they know. I'm going to preach to you a second as a teacher. When I teach at the junior high school that sits over top of public school, which means the K to 5 grades are downstairs and the 6 to 8 graders upstairs. I work with the 6 to 8 graders, but we share the same building. When I'm coming downstairs to the lunchroom with the junior high school kids, I come down a little early because I'm the dean. I listen and I watch the little kids, how they interact with each other. Also in the morning when I come in, I'm there for breakfast. So again, I'm there in the morning before school actually officially starts, and I'm listening to the conversation. And then I'm there after school watching when the parents pick up their children. Let me explain something to you. Children are blank slates. They just don't magically pop up and become ratchet. They emulate. Again, I'm going to say this again. They emulate what they are allowed to see. They become what they are fed physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So if you have a ratchet environment and you bring a child into that environment, they will be ratchet. When a child is 9 or 10 years old and standing down the street talking about how she performs fellatio and so what? Or she smoked weed and so what? When a young man is disrespectful to everyone around him and says so what? When kids are staging assault, put it on video to laugh at it. You know, that's not by accident. Someone allowed that to happen. Someone put that into motion for that child to think that that is acceptable. Or some child, some parent refused to step in. And I'm going to tell you, it starts when she's 2 and 3 and 4 years old and the music come on and she's shaking her butt like she's seen in some of these nasty videos. And instead of saying, hey, don't do that, it's go Shay Shay. Go Shay Shay, go Shay Shay. And in some cases, the mother get right next to her and do the same foolishness. Then they dress up nice to go to church on Sunday. Come on, girl, you know we need the Lord. Stop. There's ratchetness in church, too. I ain't even going there. That's another show. Ratchetness I see in church. So it's like we ain't even, you can't even separate the two. Because there's as many skirts that's right up under the cooch in church. And brothers that's hugging just a little too long in church. Undercover ratchetness. And then there's some just outright ratchetness in church. What you doing? So the church ain't exempt from ratchetness because there's people in it. And wherever there's people, there's going to be ratchets. The idea is that those of us that are sitting back and doing nothing, we're the problem. Because as it says, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. My answer is I try to fight the ratchetness at the root. I try to deal with the kids. I try to confront adults when I can. Not all the time, because I'm not going to throw my life away when you got folks out who don't care about their own. But when I see the opportunity to step in, I'm going to step in. When I see the opportunity to help somebody, I'm going to help somebody. If I see somebody being assaulted and I've seen enough to know that that's going on unfair, I'm stepping in. Does it mean I risk being hurt? Yes. Yes. I've had a gun put to my head twice helping somebody else out. So don't tell me God ain't real. Do not tell me the Lord is not real. But I have stepped in to try to help other people simply because I see it and I want to change it. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think the ratchetness is ever going away. I don't think the days where the ratchetness was unseen will ever go away. I believe we're going to get even more sight. And I believe that we're going to start to have even more pages and whatever else of stuff just taking it to even further levels, because as the technology advances, stupid people are going to find stupider things to do with it, whether sexually or more violent. We're going to see a murder. We've seen them, but we're going to start to see it more prevalent. I pray that I'm wrong, but it's coming. You're going to start to see outright rapes on video. Now you can say, KL, that sounds a little extreme. Is it? Think about it. It wasn't too long ago that you didn't see a man and a woman laying in bed together. Now we got everybody in the bed together. So what's the next step? There was a time when certain ways of life weren't even discussed. Now, not only is it discussed, it's marketed. So what's the next step? So ratchetness is only going to give birth to something else. And whatever that's going to be, it's going to be worse than ratchetness. The music says so. The movies say so. Life itself says so. Because unfortunately, we have more folks who would rather be ratchet than educated. We got more folks standing out on the street corners taking videos of people beating each other up than we have folks inside the house studying to be better. So it can't change. The numbers actually start to override. So eventually, the state, the government, whatever, has to step in and create laws to try to curtail that. This is why you're starting to find more and more folks of color, as well as poor white folks, pushed into similar areas. Let them kill each other and let the folks. Now, here's a movie I want you to go watch in the next, actually before next week. I want you to go watch the movie Soylent Green, Charlton Heston. Now, I showed this in class a few years ago when I was teaching because I wanted to bring a point to the table. In the movie, the rich is separated from the poor because at that point, they had ran out of food. And so some folks, all they got was these Soylent crackers. That's all they were able to eat, where the rich was still eating meat, very sparsely, but they still had meat. Women were called furniture. They weren't women. They were furniture. They were objects to be done with whatever. And the movie starts off with a murder, and you got to try to figure out the mystery of why this murder came about and so forth and so on. But understand that it came about because of overpopulation. And the name of the movie is Soylent Green with Charlton Heston. S-O-Y-L-E-N-T Green, I believe. Soylent Green, Charlton Heston. I've seen it quite a few times. It's a murder mystery, but you have to actually watch the whole movie to be able to see it play out. You know, and this is very interesting. And like I said, I'm going to go back to what I mentioned, especially for my folks who are in the church. My folks who are in the church understand that the church is not separate. The world is all inter. From the dancing, to everything else, when you can't separate certain aspects of the world when you're in church, well, then how is the outcome going to be different? Okay. It's going to be the same. And so this is what led me to the movie that I was mentioning about it, that the more populated places get, well, what do you think is going to happen? I don't see it changing. And I'm an educator, so you go, KL, how could you be an educator if you don't think it's going to change? Well, I have to do the best I can amidst the negative situation that I'm in. I refuse to give up, but I'm a realist. Because in the 15 years I've completed with the Department of Education, 2 years private school before that. In the 17 years that I've been an educator, I have watched the New York City school system slowly deteriorate. We are no longer the number one country in the world in education. We're not the number one country in math. We're not the number one country in English. We're in the top 10. So if we're not the top 10 in the world, what happens to our poor folks? That means there's other countries that their poor are doing better than our poor. So hence, the ratchetness increases. See, ratchetness is born out of the situation. Because these folks have phones, so they have means of putting the video out there. Facebook is not going to have a problem with what they put on it because they love all the connects. YouTube is not going to be a problem because YouTube actually pays you if you get enough hits. Media Takeout and Worldstar Hip Hop has no problem because those sites are flooded with material. So the sponsors will come to where the people are because they want to sell them as much as they can sell them. That's why when you first get to Worldstar Hip Hop, you see all of basically the ads before you even get to the videos and the more popular of whoever up front. That is it to appease the sponsors. But we all still have to dig in and fight the best we can. But if you don't want to fight anymore, give up and get in with the ratchetness. Tune on your favorite reality show and just love it. Because we done made stars overnight. What is Kim Kardashian famous for? Her family had dough. Famous for some ratchet sex video. Same thing with Paris Hilton. Their families had dough. So it wasn't money. It was that I want to get famous any way I can, because that fame is what it's about. So now we have her still married to Chris Humphries but pregnant with Kanye West's baby. Ratchetness. But you know what? It works. Why? He's ultra talented. He's ultra pretty if you like her like that. I don't find it that attractive, but hey, that's just me. And so when people start to see, I hear people mention the Stevie J character. I don't know who he is. Like I said, I don't watch the show. But his name is mentioned so much that I know of the show simply because what I hear people say and what I see people post on Facebook. Facebook has slowly morphed itself away around so folks can get these videos up quicker, get them out there. All the apps are intertwined now. Come on, man. Righteousness is not going anywhere. So, back to what I was saying earlier. What's the next generation of righteousness? Snuff film where people actually go, yo, son, I'm going to go around the corner and kill somebody. Yo, come on, turn the camera on. Great videos. Yo, son, let's pull up. Let's grab this chick and rape her and put that on video. What's next? The filing of children? We're close to that now. Because all of us have seen the different pictures of different videos of kids dubbing and kids grinding and parents sitting right around watching it like it's cute. Don't act like you haven't seen it. We've seen children smoking cigarettes, obesely, largely obese, but smoking cigarettes while still having Pampers on. We shake our heads, but you know what? It happened. Maury Povich brings us the ridiculous babies who are like 1,700 pounds with no neck. Who get angry when they can't get a piece of bread, but the mother sits there and cry, I don't know what to do with them, so I just keep feeding them and feed them 17 boxes of cereal so he'll be quiet. That's because he's dead. This is what it is. So what's the next generation? If I'm wrong, Somebody please tell me, what's the next generation of ratchetness? Where does it end? And my church folks, please don't tell me when Jesus comes back, because, yes, that's when it all ends. I'm talking about, what do we do in the meantime while we holding out waiting for the Lord to come back? Now, we can't give in. We got to keep doing what we do to try to stay as righteous as we can. But what do we do in this fight? Or do we just sit back and sit on our steps and go, wow, did that prostitute just take off all her clothes and stand on top of my car? Get the camera, honey. We could make some money. What do we do? See, because it affects all of us. When we see the videos on the bus, you ever look at some of the other people on the bus? When we see the videos on the train, I watch the videos, and I spend a lot of time on the internet. So, yes, I don't watch regular television. I spend a lot of, I want to know what's going on in the world. I want to see what people are putting online. Now, I don't know no pornography sites and stuff like that. I want to see what real people are putting online. I seen a video where a young lady couldn't hold it on the train, so she peed on the train, and her friend cleaned her up with powder and gave her a different jacket or what. How nasty is that? But you know what? People was like, yo, she had to go, ma. Yo, I feel you had to do what you had to do. What? So now public urination is cool. So what's next? What's really next? And if you haven't thought about it, shame on you, because you know what? You might be in somebody's video. You might be in somebody's ratchet video. Why? Because you fell asleep on the train because you were doing what you're supposed to. Working your one or two jobs if you have them. Taking care of your family. But because you had a hole in your pants, somebody decided that that needed to be on somebody's website. And now they're calling you a bum, B-I-T-C-H, or whatever. Yeah, those girls were suspended for twerking. That's the other foolishness. Because they thought they couldn't get in trouble. They thought they were doing a video, and then they got suspended for twerking. Let me tell you something. Miley Cyrus just did an interview the other day where she said she was talking about mollies in one of her songs. So now even a Disney queen is talking about doing drugs. So what's the next step? We see twerking in the church. We see twerking in the school. You got teachers having sex with students, and it's just ridiculous. And it used to be you had to worry about the male students, male teachers putting in their hands on the females. Now we just seem to have a rash of females having sex with male minors. When does the ratchetness stop? And I actually just happened to click on the video here. But I'm dancing in church, and I'm like, okay, I see, you know, you can't really ever, you can't judge how somebody catches the Holy Spirit, but at some point, what we got going on here? I saw a video where the chick was twerking. I guess it was after service because she had a Sunday school clothing. She was actually doing the individual butt cheek move, and if you don't know what that is, go look up some videos. Where homeboy said, yo, pop it, mom, pop it, mom, pop it, mom. And she's in church, holding on to the banister of the in the sanctuary, popping her butt cheeks left and right, up and down, whatever, in the church. But the thing is, not just her popping the butt cheeks is the problem, the person taking the picture. So the church, and then I saw the two little girls who was twerking in church, who father wore that behind out when they got home. He wound up getting arrested. I'm still up in the air about that because I understand why the father beat them, but he was beating them like runaway slaves, and I'm not sure if that's the answer. I don't know if we match abuse with abuse. So I'm kind of up in the air. A part of me goes, tear that behind up. That's what those girls need. Then another part of me goes, but those are girls, and those are young girls, and you're a grown man, and there's damage that you could do to cause these young ladies to hate you, because even though they made a mistake, they have to be taught. So I'm still torn, because I'm not sure if abuse. And I know you're saying a good whipping is not abuse. I got that. But unfortunately, because we don't have child-rearing classes, many of our young adults that have children don't know where that line is drawn when it starts to become abuse. And I know because I see it in the street sometimes. I saw a mother smack her child in the face because she couldn't keep up. And I'm thinking to myself, her legs aren't as long as yours. So you're going to beat her because she can't keep up with you when you're walking like you're trying to catch a bus? And then told the little girl, stop crying, I'm going to leave you, and kept walking. See, that's not the little girl's fault. That's not the little girl's fault. That's that mother getting pregnant before she even had her own brain situated. See, and again, so I'm going to ask you, what's the future? What do we have to look forward to? How do we put the brakes on this? How do we get our kids, whatever our kids are, I don't care if you're white, black, Asian, whatever. How do you get the children who look like you to not gravitate to this mess? Do you allow it in your house? Do you know if your children are watching it? Are you at one of those churches that when somebody catch the Holy Spirit, it looked like the club on Saturday night? No doubt, Lavina, you have to lead by example. Lord knows I'm trying. But the sad part is we seem to pack those folks who are doing the ratchet stuff in church, out of church, in school, out of school. We seem to pat them on the back, or we give them show. Or we create shows. Or we create shows that emulate what's going on the street, not letting folks know that these shows are staged. Now, I could always deal with wrestling being fake because I knew it was fake, because I would always say to myself, well, how could a man take such a beating like that and then walk out of the ring? And then I noticed that there was a big spring under the ring which made the men be able to do the things that they do, and they actually had to go to school to learn how to do that. So it was like, okay, cool. I knew the wrestling was fake, just like I knew that Jerry Springer was fake, because I started to notice that some of the same guests were coming back but dressed up differently. So I said, okay, that's stage two. But now we've gotten past the Maurys, the Jerrys, and I guess Steve now. I don't know, he's doing the same thing Maury doing or whatever. But now we've gotten to real people doing real things to real people. And I'm scared. I'm literally scared because I have children, and I'm trying to lead by example to those children, but I can't be with them every night. I can't be with my 30-year-old son. Yeah, I had a son when I was 15. He's 30 now. I'll be 46 this year when I was 16. I have a 23-year-old daughter. We don't speak because of some crimes that she committed back in 2007 and put it on YouTube. And if y'all don't remember, back in 2007, my daughter committed a crime. Her and a group of girls practicing alternative lifestyle decided that they were going to beat up a man on the train, and I was the father that turned her into the police. You can look it up on YouTube. Put in A Train Beatdown. It's still there after all these years. And my daughter's the ringleader, the one right up front doing all the talking. And then they decide to beat the man up. He wasn't seriously hurt. And if you want to check, you can put in Keith. I'll give you my government name, Keith Bell, in Google. And you'll see that the Daily News will come up, father of whatever girl turns in, as well as the CNN transcripts will come up. I was on CNN and I did an interview when they talked about it. And I only did two interviews because I wasn't going to promote the idea that I turned my daughter in. And even though some people said, you know how many books you could sell? Please. I can't even believe that some people came at me like that. But I wanted to come on TV because too often we hear, where are the parents? Oh, look at all these wild ass children. Where are their parents? Well, I was going to stand up and be that parent. I did one interview for a local TV show in Brooklyn, Channel 12, to all the Brooklynites. Channel 12 or Station 12, something like that, whatever it is. And then CNN called and asked me to come on and do one of their shows, the Rick Sanchez show. That's the one that I did. And I didn't, after that, I did no more interviews. Hot 97, WBLS, WBLS Hot 97, Power 105. PLJ, you name it, they all called and wanted me to have on. Some would say, we'll pay for your daughter to come on, and y'all, please. A couple TV shows wanted to have me come on and talk. No, I'm not doing any more interviews. And then it was, how much money you can make? Didn't you say you write books? Oh, people seeing you on TV would allow you to sell so many books. No, I came on simply because I wanted the world to see who her father was. Her mother and I have never really spoke since because she's like, how could you turn in your own daughter? Simply because I go into a school every day and tell kids to do what's right. I pray to the Lord every day to try to help me do what's right. And I'm going to turn around and watch my child commit a crime and act like I didn't see it? Not going to happen. I have a son, 21, and another son, 17. They're out here in this world, and I got to worry about what happens to them. So I have to keep fighting to try to get this ratchetness under control. Because if I don't, one of my children could fall victim to it. A gun was placed in my son's ribs on Utica Avenue in Brooklyn. They took him to the ATM and made him remove $300 out, took his Beats headphones, which I told them don't get because you're signaling to somebody that you got $200 headphones on your ear so they know it's connected to something, but he didn't want to listen. So when he called me crying, he was like, yo, Dad, make that phone call, man. Call some of your friends from the past, man. And I said, hold on a second. Calm down. You want me to call cats from my past who you know if I make that phone call, they're not coming to talk. You really want to do that over $300, some headphones and an iPod? You want that on your conscience? I said, take an hour. Call me back. And if in an hour you still want blood and you still want those lives, I'll give you the phone numbers. You make whatever choices you need to make. He took that hour. He called me back. I said, now how you feel? He said, I'm good, Dad. I said, okay. So let's do this the other way. The reason why we had the iPod certified with the police, so if it gets stolen, you file, you press those charges. We'll contact the bank in the morning. I told you don't get the beat, so you just have to take a loss on those headphones. Well, the bank returned the $300 because it was on video that you could see the guy was pressed up against my son in a very peculiar way. So they couldn't see the gun, but they could see the motion as if he had one. So they returned the $300. The iPod was registered with the police. So once we filled out the report, about a month later, the guy was caught committing another crime. And so that was then charged to his later crime because the iPod was found on. Not the beats, but the iPod. Now, that doesn't help the fact that my son was still angry that a gun got put on him, but I explained to him, I done had a gun put to my head twice, and my only thought was, I just want to get home. I just want to get home so I can see my wife, see my girlfriend. At that time, it was girlfriend then. I just want to go home. I wasn't worried about the money. I wasn't worried about nothing. Here I'm trying to stop a woman from being raped, and the other time I tried to stop a woman from being beat up, and I got a gun pushed to my forehead, and the question asked me, do you even know this B-I-T-C-H? I said, no, I do not. So why are you even over here? So you willing to die over a chick you don't know? I said, I'm not ready to die at all. I'm just saying you shouldn't do this. And at that very moment, the Lord sent two people that were walking off in the distance. It's like, yo, what's going on? And the guy ran off. And I'm mad at the chick because I'm just like, yo, if he wasn't out here, I wouldn't be out here. But you know what? I felt I had to do what was right. So I told my son, I know what you're feeling. I've been robbed before. It's the worst feeling in the world. But at the end of the day, you got to go home. Not every young man gets to do that, as we already know from the Trayvon Martin situation. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but we know that not every time do the kids get to go home. My 17-year-old was doing some of the dumbest stuff that I've ever seen in school. Ratchetness. Pouring baby oil on the steps. And him and his boys would hide to take video to see when people would fall down the steps. At least three people fell and they got it on video. So then I said to him after he got suspended, see, my kids aren't perfect, so I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you some dream that my kids are perfect because I'm trying to do what's right. My kids do stupid things too. And the first thing I said to him is, what if somebody had died? Was you ready to go to jail forever over a joke? How stupid was that? And when I told him I was so disappointed, how disappointed I was in him, I didn't have to put my hands on him. My disappointment was enough to cut through the foolishness because I could hear the tears in his voice that, Dad, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking, I'll never do it again. So we got to start at home. And you started to do the math and go, damn, how many kids KL got? You need to read from Gigolo to Jesus. I have 6. With 5 different women, and I have 1 on the way now. And I'm not irresponsible. I take care of my children. I just didn't live my life the way I should have because I didn't find the Lord until later on. But read my book first, then judge me. So you can find me on Facebook or Twitter, or go to Braven Publishing, BRAVINPublishing.com. Purchase my book from Gigolo to Jesus, and then read about my situation, my kids, and my life, Then come back and judge me about the number of women that I have. If there's no father around, you do whatever you're going to do. But the Lord has blessed me with my father back in my life and all my children I have a relationship with except for my daughter. And I explain to you why. But when I bring up ratchet, it is because I have seen the dangers firsthand. I live the dangers every day when I walk into school because I only teach in the urban neighborhoods that a lot of people don't even want to go into. I have taught in Bed-Stuy and Canarsie and up in Harlem. And it has not been easy. I'm currently in Bed-Stuy right now. And it's not easy when you have gang violence every day. Fight every day. When you are surrounded by impoverished situations where folks believe the only way to handle situations is with ratchet behavior. Violence. And more violence. But the reason why I hold my ground is because I've seen the beauty that comes out of that mud. I've seen the lotus flowers that push through that mud and beat the incarceration and go on to college. That beat the streets and go on to have beautiful children and beautiful and become beautiful parents. But we got to figure out a way to change that. We got to figure out a way to alter that. And so my hope with shows like this and all the other shows on TQ Palace that are bringing you a variety of different type of radio that will start to gravitate to the less ratchet things, to things that can actually uplift us, things that can actually make it better for us. Yes, there's the video. Anybody that's in GQ Palace, general question, that's the video right there, and that's my daughter standing dead center. And as you'll see, at no time did the guy do anything violent to them, and they decided to attack him. So, yes, if you do a Google search and put in Keith Belvin, that's what the KL stands for, Keith L. Belvin. If you put in Keith Belvin, the Daily News from November 2007 will come up. It'll be two articles. Actually, should be three, but the first one will be me. I offered the guy who was assaulted, I offered him an apology, and then I offered to go to dinner so we could sit down so I could apologize to him directly. So I don't just talk, but I've lived it. The next newspaper article is the next day where they found out who the man was. He said he was embarrassed by letting the girls beat him up, but he said he didn't want to hurt the girls. And so his name was set up, so he said he's pressing charges. And then the next one, I think, is the Saturday newspaper, is when they interviewed my daughter and asked her how she felt about the fact that her father turned her into the police. But as I said, I'm not going to go into school and tell kids to do what's right and then watch my daughter do what's wrong and act like I didn't see it. I'm going to stand up and be the man that I've asked the Lord to help me to become, even if it meant my daughter. You know what? I didn't raise her the way I was supposed to because I didn't know how when I was young. So I was going to put a stop to that by simply saying no longer. And if it meant my own daughter going to jail, so be it. Now, she didn't because the guy never showed up at court. She was facing 7 to 15 years in jail for assault. He never showed up. And so she was given probation. And her and I have never really talked since then. And when she read my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, was the first time she said, Dad, I understand that you get it. I see that you understand now the problems I've been going through. But I explained to her, her problems were not new to her because I understood her problems because I had lived them when I was younger myself. But that still didn't heal everything. It put a Band-Aid on it. But we don't really talk. And I'm okay with that because I'm here whenever she's ready. I've made the attempt. She chooses to be distant, which is okay. When she's ready, her father's here. And so I go after the other children and I have a working relationship, a good relationship with the other children. And that's what I do. So I don't just come on and tell you things that I tell you because I want you to be impressed, but I'm telling you because I come from a point of reality, and I'm going to tell you what I know that I live with. I'm not just talking this. I live this. So to change this ratchet, you got to be willing to get in and get your hands dirty, which means your nose might get a little busted. Your knuckles might get a little skin. You might get punched in the eye once or twice. But if it's worth saving a life, then you do so. That's where my church folks should be. Not piled up at the church on Sunday, which is great. Piled out each street the rest of the days of the week. dealing with these kids wrecked every day before you get to Sunday, and then leave Sunday for the day that you drag them in and say, okay, let's sit down and rejoice now, because I've been fighting with you all week, but now let's hang out. Let's break bread. If we're not doing it, what we going to do? So, as we bring this show to a close, I want to say thank you, everyone that has listened. I want to say thank you for Lavina and Rich Money behind the scenes doing what they do. I want to say thank you to anyone who listens to this in the future. Please share it with anyone that you choose. The replays, the archives of the show will be on the blog talk site, as well as it'll be on KL Belvin at blog talk. KLBelvin.blogspot.com and makeamarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. Please come back, listen to the shows. If the shows is going to help you get across to somebody what needs to be done, feel free. If you need to get in touch with me, if you need to speak to me, if you need to have me come out and speak to your organization, I do that too. I'm not scared. Ain't no hood that I'm scared of. Because if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I know the Lord. I'm okay. But if that's what it's going to take to help change your youngster, help change your organization, help change your block, let's get it started. I'm doing it. I got a young men's mentor group, and I meet with these young men, and I've done it in high schools, and I'm doing it in junior high school now. I'm doing it. So if you need assistance on how to start it, ask. If not, just ask yourself this question. What's the next generation of rationalists going to look like? And do you really want to see that? Been Reality and Relationships. I have been your host, KL Belvin. And again, I thank you for spending the time with me. And I'll tell my lovely wife you all said hello. Have a good night. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all the lovers around the world, I want to talk about the one I love. I know a lot of times we forget how they take good care of you, but tonight, I just want to express the way I feel.
Oh, baby, funny how things have changed in my life now, whether near or far, I want to be where.
Yeah.